John is in his 70s, looks like Al Capone, resplendent with a fedora, black and white from head to toe, including those unmistakable shoes. He's no gangster. He would look equally at home standing on a rooftop covered in soot. He's been dancing again. He dances 2 to 3 times per week. It's one of the reasons he doesn't look a year over 60, that and the fact that he's someone that doesn't drink alcohol. I'm trying to change the world, but John has my ear. I take my cans off and give him my undivided attention. It doesn't matter where John lays down his groove, he's always the best. And I know this because John's always telling me this, a tidal wave of confidence flushing the brown smelly stuff from my lug holes. John explains how beautiful it is to find the perfect dance partner, but given his Fred Astaire standing in the world, it's as rare as a bald eagle dipping into your cat bowl for a spot of whiskers. Any less than perfect and there's a mismatch. John has to hold back and dance at the level of the person staring into those ancient eyes. They are hitchhikers. John always has the wheel, dragging those feet, handbrake partially applied. He wants to roll. Roll, baby, roll. We're always dancing, and it's crucial that when we do, that we have the right dance partner. Take the dance between the person starting as someone that doesn't drink alcohol and the zombie suffering from the death effect. It's demoralizing to talk about your newfound wisdom when you know the other person can't hear a thing you're fucking saying. Off you go, invisible, violent, dominant, belief system. You want to roll, roll, baby, roll. But they can't keep up, and before you know it, you're both lying on the floor wondering what the fuck went wrong. So when talking about alcohol, choose your dance partner wisely. And that's what we talk about in today's podcast. My name is Lee Davey. I am not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I am someone that doesn't drink alcohol and chooses my dance partners wisely when I talk about it. And I try to help other people do the same every waking moment of the day, starting right now. Before we get on to today's podcast, just some bits and bobs to catch up on. First of all, I want to say sorry. I haven't provided a podcast for over a week. That's not like me. I've had a bit of a busy time. So I spent 2 weeks in the UK with my boy. And then my boy came over to LA with me. And I felt that it was super important that I devoted my entire time to him and my family, because I'd missed my wife and my daughter for 2 weeks while I was in the UK. And then I got my boy with me in LA. So I didn't have time to do the podcast then. So I do apologize for that. But while I was in the UK, I did get to see a bunch of Strivers. I managed to sit down, have a cup of tea with Sue in South Wales. I got up to Bolton to spend time with John, who's a Truth About Alcohol ambassador. And then I went to London and spent time with Strivers Phil and Tony. So that was beautiful. I really enjoyed that. I'm going to do more of that and try to promote more and more Strive-like meetups around the world as we continue to grow. Because it's super important, right, when you think about it. I mean, the fact that we have the intensive experience there for people who want to spend a year working on being someone that doesn't drink alcohol. One of the things that we come across quite often in the Freedom module, and it's designed this way to help you with this, is that when we become people that don't drink alcohol, we get a little bit lonely. We look around and all of a sudden our friends, just like I've been talking about in today's opening gambit, you know, that our dance partners who we were once in tune with, suddenly we're not in tune with them anymore because we're dancing to the beat of non-alcoholic kind of music and they're dancing to this beat of fucking craziness, right? So we don't really gel, and all of a sudden we think to ourselves, well, are we going to be lonely forever, or are we going to find other friends? Where are we going to find them? And it suddenly struck me that, of course, on Strive, we're a family. We share intimate details of our lives that we haven't even shared to the people we spend our beds with. So why do we keep that as an electronic relationship? There's no reason why we can't like meet up and be best buddies, right? So I'm going to do more and more of that. And I'm very fortunate because I get free rail travel passes in the UK, so I can travel around and meet these folks. I'm going to do more of that. I think it's super duper. I want to say thank you to John and Craig, Trooper Alcohol Ambassadors, who have been leading the online mastermind groups for the last couple of weeks while I've been away. If you're interested in joining those mastermind groups, then you need to be either a member of the Taster group or you need to be a member of the Intensive. The great groups, absolutely wonderful. We get to speak for about 60 to 90 minutes about, basically talking about the things that we're learning as we're going through this process of being people that don't drink alcohol, and also asking a lot of questions and leaning on people and asking for help. I want to say a big thank you and a kiss to Dougie Boy. Dougie Boy's one of our busiest drivers at the moment, and Doug celebrated 1,000 days of no alcohol. Woo woo! Can you imagine that? 1,000 days? Fucking hell, that's a long time, and I don't even know how long that is. But Doug's celebrating his 1,000 days, so a big kiss and hug to Doug. Also, kisses to Anna and Kim. Anna for finishing the February taster, and Kim for beginning the March taster. Well done, folks. And some changes to the taster. So somebody wrote to me. I was thinking about this anyway, but somebody wrote to me and it's kind of cemented my position. And they said to me, Lee, I just went to join this March taster, but I got there too late. And now I don't really want to wait until April. I don't really want to go somewhere else because I really like what you're doing here. And I like your philosophy and I like your style, etc., etc. But I really need help now. Why can't the taster be a roll-in kind of like experience that people can join anytime? So we're going to do that from now on, okay? So give me a little bit of time to like change the website and all that kind of stuff to make it clear. But from now on, with immediate effect, if you want to go 27 days without drinking alcohol and you want our help with that and you want to do it through our taster experience, then you don't have to wait until the calendar month. It's not like February, March, April, May, June, July taster or whatever. From now on, it's just the taster. Okay. And anytime you want to join it, you can join it. We're going to make that more flexible. If you want to join straight away, Kim is currently doing that, and in the March taster, we'll just bang you into that group and you can start working with Kim. Craig is currently leading that group. Just let us know. Just drop me an email at truthbutalcohol@gmail.com. Forthcoming guest locked in. So these are guests that have locked in. They've scheduled their time to speak to me in their calendars. Scott Stabile, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not. Scott is the author of Big Love. He is going to be on The Alcohol Addiction Thursday, the 14th of March. And if you are a member of Strive, okay, if you're a member of Strive, then you will be able to join that interview live, okay? You'll be able to join that interview live. I will, of course, mute you, shut you the fuck up, so I can give Scott the floor. But with about like 50 minutes of the interview left, I will open it up and you can ask him questions live. So that's a new thing we're doing at the Truth About Alcohol podcast, the Alcohol Addiction podcast. So Thursday, 14th of March. And on Thursday, the 21st of March, we will be talking to Janice and James Prochaska, or Janice Prochaska, or James Prochaska, both, or one or the other, I'm not quite sure yet. They are the authors of Changing to Thrive. I first came across James Prochaska's work in his book, Changing for Good, which follows the six stages of change, which I think are super duper important when you're going through this process of becoming someone that doesn't drink alcohol. We're going to be talking to the Prochaskas on Thursday, the 21st of March. And again, if you're a member of Strive, you will be able to watch that live and you'll be able to ask them questions at the end of it. If you want to join Strive, it is £5 a month membership. Go to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk to sign up. It will be the best £5 you'll ever spend in your life. Okay, that's it. Without further ado, I'm going to shut up and leave you with today's podcast. When talking about alcohol, choose your dance partner wisely. Take care of yourselves.
Hello, folks. This is Lee Davey here, breaking out another podcast. So I'm still in Tujunga, California. Looks like I'm going to be here until June. And over there, that is my office, Starbucks. And it's quite interesting when you're in, it's quite interesting in Starbucks because there's like regulars in there. So there's like a few of us who use it as an office. But the vast majority of people who use it are actually people who've retired. So, people who've retired. So, and these people don't really have anywhere to kind of hang out. They, I think they live alone, a lot of them. And so they come to Starbucks and they sit there all day and they work, and that's quite sweet. And, you know, people sit in the same seats, like familiarity. You can see in Starbucks how familiarity in our life is like really important. Everybody sits in the same seats with the same people. So everybody like wants the far seat in the back so you can observe the whole of the room. That's Jerry's, because Jerry always gets there in there at 5 o'clock in the morning. And then when Jerry leaves, I dive in there. But what's been happening for the last week or so is Joe will come and sit next to me like every day, and Joe is John is the 8-year-old that I've been talking about, who looks absolutely fantastic for his age, a former actor, dancer. I think he does a bit of lawyer work now. But yesterday when I left him, he said that he was going to go dancing. And so he just come in this morning and I said, how did the dancing go? And he said, great, you know. He danced for 4 hours, swing, and was talking about how, because of his ability as a dancer, there are very few people that he can find that can dance at his level. But that doesn't bother him, because he'll dance with anybody irrespective of whatever their level is. He will take his dance down to these other people's levels, right? And then if somebody who is a more advanced dancer comes into his equation, then he'll increase his ability. So how he's dancing with people varies dependent on the skill and of the different people he's dancing with, right? And whilst there's an obvious lesson here that, you know, one of the reasons that John has reached the great age of 80, looking so fit and healthy, is because dancing is a big part of what he does. Like, it's not just the exercise, is it? Can you imagine all the right, positive, energized neuropeptides that are flying around his body as a result of shifting his body, moving, the beat of the music, the sound of the music, the closeness and intense connection that he has when he's dancing with a female, that kind of like spark that's going. So he must, like, these like chemicals must be flooding him all the time. And the other thing that's really super important is he does all this without drinking alcohol. Like, when he's dancing from 6 o'clock in the evening to like 12 o'clock at night, he said he didn't stop dancing till midnight last night. When they're doing this, they're not drinking alcohol, right? They're not drinking alcohol. They're able to dance without alcohol. And we can all dance without alcohol. We don't need alcohol to dance. We might think that we do, because that's when we used to dance. We used to go to nightclubs, we used to get wrecked, and we go up and we dance, etc. But we don't need it to. And I particularly found this when I went to Burning Man a couple of years ago. I went to a free-form dance. It was really way out there. There were like naked people dancing. There was people dressed in all weird, funny costumes. And for a moment, my legs wouldn't move. It was like, what am I going to do? And then I just closed my eyes, and then I just forgot there was people around me, and I just let the music take me, and I loved it. I didn't even want to open my eyes. I loved it. I just loved the feeling of the movement and everything, right? But that's not what I want to talk about right now. That I wanted to impress that, you know, John dancing, and you know, in his 80s is fantastic, and it's a real good thing for us all to think about. But what I really wanted to impress here is I want to focus a little bit on when you go out, okay? So when you have just become someone who doesn't drink alcohol, and you go to the pub for the first time, or you sat in the barber's chair and you're talking to your local barber about it for the first time, or you didn't work in a cafeteria and someone's asking you about it for the first time. For me, using the metaphor of John and his dancing, right? You need to adopt that with your conversations with people about alcohol. There are some people who will really, really understand where you're coming from. Maybe they don't drink alcohol. Maybe they do a little bit, but health is super important to them. Maybe they've made some life-changing decisions in their time before. Maybe someone they know is really deeply affected by alcohol or is suffering from alcoholism, right? Or maybe this person is super, super inquisitive about why you're doing the things that you're doing, why you've made the choice that you've made, and the fact that you are choosing to be someone who doesn't drink alcohol. Maybe they've known you for such a long time that they find the change that you're making, okay, inconceivable. Like, such a drastic paradigm change that they can't believe you're going to do it, so they're really super interested in it, all right? Or maybe they couldn't give a fuck. Maybe they think, because you were being someone who doesn't drink alcohol, that the act in itself is condescending, that by talking to them about it, you're preaching, that you're standing on your soapbox, that you think you are better than them, that you're a Billy Big Potato. maybe there's somebody who is just locked up in their own self. They're not interested in anything you say whatsoever. The type of person that when you're talking to them and you're right in the deep depths of alcoholism is invisible, violent, dominant belief system, turn around and say, look at that Christmas tree there, right? Sounds like my wife. Anyway, what I'm getting at is, look at it like you're dancing, like you're John, okay? Go out into the pub or the barbershop or the cafeteria, wherever you are, and think to yourself, okay, that you're a dancer. And think to yourself, and you're a top-notch dancer, okay? And you are going to, okay, dance at the level that everybody else is dancing at. You are going to understand and raise your awareness about the capabilities and the understanding and the attitudes and the tone and the body language of everybody you're going to mix with, and you're going to determine, okay, which ones are willing to listen to you bang on about alcohol being an invisible, violent, dominant belief system, and which ones you're not even going to talk about the fact that you're not drinking. What I'm getting at here is every single person is different. Everybody's body language is different. Everybody's like attitude about these things are different. So you can't just bring out your killer statement to every single one in a rote fashion. You need to adopt your kind of strategy depending on who you're speaking to at any given time. In the same way that John has to adopt his dance style depending on who he's dancing with at that moment, all right? So I just thought I would share that with you. My name is Lee Davey. I'm not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I'm someone that doesn't drink alcohol and loves to dance. I'll catch you later. Take care.
If the truth about alcohol philosophy jives with you and you want to become someone that doesn't drink alcohol, then there are several options available to you, okay? According to the research carried out by Janice and James Prochaska, there are 6 stages of change when it comes to defeating an addiction. And let me assure you, that is your problem. It is an addiction, right? Now, these 6 stages of change are as follows. 1, pre-contemplation. 2, contemplation. 3, preparation. 4, action. 5, maintenance. And 6, termination. And translated into truth about alcohol philosophy, these categories become this, right? Number 1, the death effect. Number 2, visualization. Number 3, incubation. Number 4, ready, steady, go. Number 5, transformation. And number 6, service. And that just makes a nice little acronym, STRIVE. Ha! That's why I did that, right? So these 6 stages of the truth about alcohol are not fixed in stone, right? They're fluid, and you'll move between these stages depending on a variety of different factors. But understanding where you are on this spectrum is really critical, okay? Now, number 1, the first category you're going to be in, which the Prochaska's called pre-contemplation and I'm calling the death effect, that's when you really are struck by the zombification of societal conditioning. You have no idea that alcohol is a problem, that alcoholism exists. You just think that alcohol is fucking brilliant and that is the end of, right? And that will not be affecting you right now because you're here listening to this. But that is that first level, that first category, the death effect. At the second level, contemplation, as the Prochaska's call it, or for me, visualization, this is where you start to think and question the role that alcohol has in your life, right? And as you're thinking about this and you're pondering and you're kind of visualizing kind of like, you know, how alcohol is having a negative effect in your life and what it could possibly be like if it's not in your life anymore, you may have joined the Alcohol Addiction Podcast and listened to this. You may have headed over to the truthaboutalcohol.co.uk and joined our email list. You might be reading our blog post. You might have picked up a few books and started reading on those. At the third stage is called preparation, right? Or what we call incubation. And this is where you might go a little bit further. And you're now starting not only to kind of listen to podcasts and read some books, but you're actually preparing to change, right? The idea that you could potentially be someone that doesn't drink alcohol is starting to incubate. And you could, at this stage, have joined a community forum like Strive, or you might have joined NIST Naked Minds forum or Hip Sobriety's Facebook group or something. But you're starting to prepare for change. The fourth category is action, or what we call ready, steady, go. And this is where you really are now starting to take some real solid action. And if you're ready to take action, then you should take the Truth About Alcohol Taster. The Truth About Alcohol Taster is a 27-day program. You can join the program whenever you like. You just go to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and you can find the links there to join up. Or you can email me at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com and I'll sort you out. You join basically a group and you can just work on being someone who doesn't drink alcohol for 27 days to give it a little bit of a feel. We'll introduce you to the Truth About Alcohol philosophy, our three modules of truth, awareness, and freedom. We'll learn to help you see the truth about alcohol, why you drink, why it's so difficult to stop, raise awareness of that truth internally so you can start to change some of those neurological pathways, those thought process and belief systems around alcohol, and then freedom. How do you assert yourself back into a society of people that don't drink alcohol? You do the homework on Strive, you get an assignment every day from myself, and one of the Truth About Alcohol ambassadors will lead you along the way. So that's kind of the action stage. The fifth stage is called maintenance, or what we call transformation. This is where the work really takes off, right? Now, it's really important to understand that moving between the incubation phase and the ready, steady, go phase, you know, so whilst you're kind of like preparing to take action, that could take anywhere up to 6 months. And when once you've started to take action, the actual maintenance phase, which is what we call transformation, the stage where you are really working on becoming someone that doesn't drink alcohol permanently, that phase can take up to 5 years, right? It can take that long. It certainly takes six months plus for you to really nail it or give yourself a good shot at this. And for that reason, we've created the intensive. The Truth About Alcohol Intensive, it's a year, an annual subscription where we get really deep into the truth about alcohol, raising awareness of that truth and working out how to be free of it. And we're up to like 70 plus coaching videos. You work with all the Truth About Alcohol ambassadors and myself. It's a great, great process, okay? One of the big mistakes people make is they'll take the taster, so they start to take action, and then once they finish the taster, they don't continue into the maintenance phase, and that can lead them fall back into some of those earlier categories. So it's really important to do the intensive and get through that transformation phase. And then finally, sixth, termination, as the Prochaskas call it, or I like to call it service. This is where it doesn't matter what happens now, you're never going to drink alcohol. It doesn't matter, you're never triggered, nothing ever happens, you're just fucking done with it, right? And that's where I am right now. And this is where we at the Truth About Alcohol can offer you some roles to, you know, give back to the community, give back to the world, and help me create this movement of a million people that don't drink alcohol. And that is to extend yourself into the roles of either a Strive ambassador, where you lead in the Strive movement and really are a rock helping new people come to Strive, or you can become a Truth About Alcohol ambassador, where we pay you to take control of the taster groups and the intensive groups and really work with people who are ready to take the action phase. So if you are ready right now, okay, to start to think about moving up into the next stage, so, you know, you're in contemplation phase now and you're thinking about going to preparation, join Strive, right? It's £5 a month. It'll be the best £5 you've ever spent. If you're ready to take action, if you're ready to do something about this, then join the taster. Okay, that's £99, right? Join the taster. And then if you are just ready to just fucking be someone that doesn't drink alcohol and that is like something you want to do permanently, then join the intensive. That is £1,000. We've got payment plans available. Do not let money be the reason why you do not take this, because we can always sort something out or find you some help, all right? So head over to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk to join those experiences, or give me an email at truthaboutalcohol@gmail.com. Remember this, folks, okay? You drink alone, but you do not have to stop drinking alone. That's why we're here for you. So reach out and help. Take care of yourself.